see? Can you check?
जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, गोपी जना वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, गोपी जना वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंजन, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंजन, यमुना तीरवन चारी, यमुना तीरवन चारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी,
जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय, अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय, ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरांग नारायण नमस्कृत्य नरम चैव नरोत्तमम देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जय मुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया, भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिके, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 6 चैप्टर 7 इंद्र ऑफेंस बृहस्पति टेक्स्ट 26। श्री शुक उवाच, This verse doesn't have purport. Anyway. Ta evam mudita rajan brahmana vigata jvarah rishim tvastram upavrajya parishvajyedam abruvan. श्री शुक उवाच, त एवं मुदिता राजन् ब्रह्मणा विगत ज्वराः ऋषिं त्वाष्ट्रम् ఉపవ్రజ్య పరిష్వజ్యేదం అబ్రువన్. Would you like to try, Veronica? Shri Shuka Uvacha Taevam Mudita Rajan Brahmana Vigata Jvaraha Rishim Tvasram Upavraja Parishvajedam Abruvan. Very good. Shri Shuka Uvacha. Shukadeva Goswami said, Te, all the demigods, evam, thus, uditaha, being advised, Rajan, O King Parikshit, Brahmana, by Lord Brahma, Vigatajvaraha, being relieved from aggrievement caused by the demons, Rishim, the great sage, Tvastram, to the son of Tvashta, Upavrajya, going, Parishvajya, embracing, Idam, this, Abruvan, spoke. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. We're going to do a few verses because they don't have purports. Srila Shukadeva Goswami said, thus advised by Lord Brahma and relieved of their anxiety, all the demigods went to sage Vishwarupa, the son of Tvashta. My dear king, they embraced him and spoke as follows. Text 27. The demigods said, beloved Vishwarupa, may there be all good fortune for you. We, the demigods, have come to your ashram as your guests. Please try to fulfill our desires according to the time, since we are on the level of your parents. Text 28. O Brahmana, the highest duty of a son, even though he has sons of his own, is to serve his parents. What to speak of a son who is a brahmachari? Text 29 and 30. The Acharya, the spiritual master who teaches all the Vedic knowledge and gives initiation by offering the sacred thread, is the personification of all the Vedas. Similarly, a father personifies Lord Brahma, a brother, King Indra, a mother, the planet Earth, and a sister, Mercy. A guest personifies religious principles, an invited guest personifies the demigod Agni, and all living entities personify Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. According to the moral instructions of Chanakya Pandit, Atmavat Sarva Bhuteshu, one should observe all living entities to be on the same level as oneself. This means that no one should be neglected as inferior. Because Paramatma is seated in everyone's body, everyone should be respect, erected as a temple of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This verse describes the different ways in which one should respect a guru, a father, a brother, a sister, a guest, and so on. We'll come back to this. Text 31. Dear son, we have been defeated by our enemies, and therefore we are very much aggrieved. Please mercifully fulfill our desires by relieving our distress to the strength of your austerities. Please fulfill our prayers. Text 32. Since you are completely aware of the Supreme Brahman, you are a perfect Brahmana, and therefore you are the spiritual master of all orders of life. We accept you as our spiritual master and director, so that by the power of your austerity, we may easily defeat the enemies who have conquered us. Purport. One must approach a particular type of guru to execute a particular type of duty. Therefore, although Vishwarupa was inferior to the demigods accepted him as their guru to conquer the demons. Text 33. The demigods continued, "Do not fear criticism for being younger than us. Such etiquette does not apply in regard to Vedic mantras. Except in relationship to Vedic mantras, seniority is determined by age. But one may offer respectful obeisances even to a younger person who is advanced in chanting the Vedic mantras. Therefore, although you are junior in relationship to us, you may become our priest without hesitation." Purport. It is said, "Vriddhavratam vayasa vina." One may be senior without being advanced in age. Even if one is not old, one gains seniority if he is senior in knowledge. Vishwarupa was junior in relationship to the demigods because he was their nephew. But the demigods wanted to accept him as their priest, and therefore he would have to accept obeisances from them. The demigods explained that this should not be a cause for hesitation. He could become their priest because he was advanced in Vedic knowledge. Similarly, Chanakya Pandit advises, "Nichadapi uttamam jnanam." One may accept education from a member of a lower social order. The Brahmanas, the members of the most elevated Varna, are teachers. But a person in a lower family, such as a family of Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, or even Shudras, may be accepted as a teacher if he has knowledge. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu approved of this when he expressed his opinion before Ramananda Raya. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela, Chapter 8, Text 128. Kiba vipra kiba nyasi shuddha kena hai, e Krishna tattva veta shay guru hai. It does not matter whether one is a brahmana, shudra, grahastha or sannyasi. They are all material designations. A spiritually advanced person has nothing to do with such designations. Therefore, if one is advanced in the science of Krishna consciousness, regardless of his position in human society, he may become a spiritual master. Who's writing the verses? Are you writing the verse on the board? So tomorrow would be verse 35. Thank you. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chaksur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, the demigods have become overpowered. They have been defeated by the demons. And so now they don't have a place to be. They don't have a service to do. And they are homeless, in one sense. And why has this all happened? Because Indra neglected to offer respect to his spiritual master, Brihaspati. So we can see that Although one may have great material opulence, one may have great material opulence by neglecting the spiritual master or by neglecting Krishna, one's fate is very pitiable. One's stage is very pitiable. One loses everything, literally to the effect that they may become homeless from neglecting the spiritual master. In fact, we are homeless in a grand scheme. If you look at it from a big picture point of view, we are homeless. We are homeless that we have left our original home to be with Krishna because of neglect. Raga dvesha vimukta istu. And we are wandering. And where are we living? Where do the homeless live? In the alleys, in dark places, right? And they're fighting for food. They look into the garbage bin and eat stuff out of there. And what are we doing in the material world? It's a dark place. We're making houses that are for, you know, made of earth, water, fire, air, like that. And where is the original home? What is it made of? It's made of jewels. What are the trees? Wish-fulfilling trees. Where every step is a dance, every word is a song. There are unlimited rivers of nectarian milk flowing. We've left that and we're living in dark places. Where our oceans are made of salt water instead of nectar. Just like that. Why? Because we've neglected Krishna. And what is worse is that in this condition, if we neglect the spiritual master, then we are in a worse condition. Even in the dark place, we're in the worst condition. This is the power of having the shelter of a guru, that suddenly from a very homeless or pitiable condition, we are very quickly elevated to a very high position in the universe. How many personalities in the universe also live with Krishna? Get to eat the same thing that Krishna gets to eat. Be with the devotees. Chant the holy name. See his deity form. It's just rare. It's very, very, we're very fortunate. And what's our qualification? Yogyata vichare kichhu nahi paye. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in case we were asked the question, what is our qualification? And when we look in and we say, well, there's something there. We look to Bhaktivinoda Thakur and he says, well, I don't find anything here in my heart. Yogyata vichare kichhu nahi paye. I search my heart, every nook and corner of my heart for some qualification. I don't find anything there. So just in case we think we may have something, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is stalemating us by saying there isn't anything. If there's nothing in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's heart, as he's saying, we can't say, I have little more than Bhaktivinoda Thakur. I have nothing. Yogyata vichare kichhu nahi paye tumara karuna sara. I'm completely made of your mercy. It is the mercy of the Vaishnavas, mercy of the spiritual master, that we are extracted from a very deep, dark, dirty place. What is our qualification? To put on tilak. We've been studying nectar of devotion, so that's fresh for me in my mind. What is our qualification to put on tilak? By chanting the names of Vishnu. What is our qualification to put on kantimala, tulasi, which is the dearest thing to Krishna? To put it around our necks. No qualification. Some Vaishnava very mercifully allowed us to do so. So we are. Right? It's described in Nectar of Devotion that there is a place called Mayuradhvaja. And in Mayuradhvaja, the residents, some of them are low dog eaters, shudras. But when they apply tilak to their bodies, and they have kantimala decorating their necks, they look so good looking. They're so attractive. And they immediately higher in status than the great brahmanas or so-called brahmanas or even great personalities. This is how we've been made qualified. We hear often that Krishna is called Bhagavan. Bhagavan means the possessor of all opulences, Bhaga. And the devotee is called Bhagyavan. Bhagyavan means fortunate. So because Krishna is the carrier of all opulences, or the source of all opulences, the devotee becomes the vessel in which those opulences also manifest. So he's called fortunate, Bhagyavan. And the Bhagavatam is instructing us in a very important lesson that one may be in the position of Indra. Imagine doing 100 Ashwamedha Yajnas. Imagine doing one, or half, or a quarter of it. I mean, if we walk out of the temple saying, is there anyone who can challenge my superiority? Let them have a fight with me. As soon as we walk out in Rogers Park, some guy over 6.5 feet and say, what? Nothing. Yeah. We can't stand challenge. When we speak of karma, I usually offer this joke that the man showed up at the gates of heaven. And Saint Peter, I believe, he opens the gate and he says, yes, what can I do for you? He says, I want to get in. He said, you want to get in? Let me check. What's your name? Whatever, Bhakta Tom. Not Bhakta Tom, whatever Tom. Your name's not here. No, but I want to get in. I'm here. I have to get in. So then Saint Peter says, do you know? To get into the gates of heaven, you must have done something good. Have you done anything good? So he looks and says, yeah, I've done something good. And what is it that you've done? He said, you know what? I was walking on the street and I saw the Hell's Angels, the bikers. They were bothering a woman. I said, really? Tell me more. He said, and one of these guys, he was almost 6.5 feet tall. He was very muscular. And I walked up to him and I said, excuse me, sir, stop bothering this woman. As Peter said, yeah, tell me what happened. So I said, then that man looked down upon me and said, really? What are you going to do? So I reached up and put my finger in his nose ring and I yanked that ring out. And Saint Peter said, wow, when did that happen? He said, 2 minutes ago. So we've been made fortunate. And we can't perform Ashwamedha Yajna. We can't go out and say, anyone who can challenge me, send my horse out. We can't do it. So even if one is such a great person as Indra, slight negligence can cause havoc. And thanks to Lord Indra, we're getting some nice lessons here. So they went to Lord Brahma, and now they need to take care of their service. So proper thing to do is to go to the spiritual master or the superior of that spiritual master, of course, meaning someone senior. And Lord Brahma said, this is what has happened, all right. You need to reinstate yourself, for which you need to perform a sacrifice by which a particular Brahmana's austerity can be gifted to you. Ask Tvasta's son, Vishwarupa, to help you out. And he's anyway your nephew. We read in the previous chapter how these people are related. The sons of these demigods are the Adityas, the sons of Aditi. Tvashta is related in a way that he is cousins, or he's related to both the demons and the demigods, because Kashyapa is the father. So they are like what is called half-brothers. Half-brothers? Same father, different mothers, are called half-brothers. Yes? Okay. This is yes, this is no, unless you're from India and, you know. So they say, go to Tvashta, Tvashta's son, Vishwarupa. He's performing great austerities and he'll be able to help you. So the demigods approach him. They embrace him. And when they embrace, here's a social etiquette piece. When we approach a superior, we offer obeisances. When we meet equals, we shake hands and embrace. And we meet someone junior, younger, then we give blessings. When Krishna met the Pandavas, of course, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. From a social perspective though, imagine he met Yudhishthira Maharaj and he offered obeisances. Imagine Krishna offering obeisances. He offered obeisances to Yudhishthira Maharaj and Bhima. He shook hands with Arjuna, embraced him, and Nakula and Sahadev offered obeisances to him. That's etiquette. So they've come to Vishwarup. Vishwarup is their nephew. So they embrace him and they make a request. We need your help to get reinstated as the rulers of the heavens. But we don't have that strength. So we need you to do a fire yagya by which your strength comes to us. And we will go fight the demons. And in this case, they tell him that don't worry, it may be a little embarrassing for you because we are like parents to you and we have to, in the fire yagya, offer our obeisances to you as our priest. It is very embarrassing for a junior person to receive obeisances from someone superior. It's uncomfortable. We're talking about cultured people here, right? So it's uncomfortable. Because the position of a person who's younger in their spiritual advancement, their happy position is to always offer obeisances, not to receive them. Then there is a little social message about how to interact with persons that we come across. The spiritual master, he is considered to be what we say a spiritual father. You've heard me say this in the past. We take two births. We're supposed to take two births. The first birth is a biological birth from mother and father. That all human beings, animals, insects, birds, reptiles, they all take birth like that. So what makes the human being any different? It's the second birth. The second birth actually makes one a human being instead of a two-legged animal. And that second birth is that the mother is the Vedas, and the spiritual master is the father. So the twice born, we hear many times, oh, twice born. It's not like we are born again Christians or something, but twice born, now born into the Vedic system, into the culture of a human being, so we can pursue spiritual education. So such person is called Dvija. Ja means to be born. Dvija means born twice. So in the same life, one is born twice by spiritual initiation, by meeting a spiritual master and taking initiation. That's the second birth. Today is 28th of July. Today is the day we took our second birth 12 years ago. They says, the father personifies Lord Brahma. To the spiritual master, He is the one who gives initiation and the sacred thread. This is a qualification one receives. And in Lord Chaitanya's movement, even if not qualified, one receives it to encourage study of Vedic scriptures. It's Monday morning, so I have to mix it up with a few things so that everyone's awake. I'll tell you a story about sacred thread. Narottam Das Thakur, because from here I can see faces. It's called faces, the index of the mind. And right now I can see the minds. When Narottam Das Thakur, his popularity extended far and wide. Narottam himself was an amazing prince, very, very rich, born in such a rich family. Yet, from a social perspective, he was a Kayastha, which means they're considered Shudras. They're not Brahmanas, although he was a prince. So when he became a Vaishnava and started preaching like anything and bringing so many people into the fold of Krishna consciousness, the what we call caste Brahmanas, the orthodox Brahmanas who believe that Vedic knowledge can only be learnt and given to those who are born in a Brahmana family, which is not the teaching of the Vedas, but that's the sense of orthodoxy that they have. So they were very much against Narottam Das Thakur. And it came to a point, it's described, there are two versions of this story, and I'll tell you the second version, that came a point in time when Narottam Das Thakur decided to depart from this world. And he went into a samadhi, into a trance. And he didn't come out of it 6 days, 7 days, just in deep trance. So most of his disciples thought that our spiritual master is leaving. So naturally they were feeling a sense of separation. And the whole village and town around them, people were feeling, Narottam Das Thakur is going to leave. So they came in throngs to see him. The caste Brahmanas, the orthodox Brahmanas also came. And they came to point fingers at Narottam Das Thakur. Oh, look at him. What is all this? How can he become such a great personality? He's born in a Shudra family. And what is this about initiating so many people into becoming Brahmanas? How is it possible? This is not good. This is all concocted stuff. This is not bona fide. And when they were complaining like that, the disciples naturally felt very bad. And they prayed to Narottam Das Thakur, please do something. Please do something. Because these people are blaspheming you. And it's described that while Narottam Das Thakur's body was in trance, suddenly a golden sacred thread appeared around the body of Narottam Das Thakur. We wear thread, a golden thread started appearing. And it was bright and shining. And all the caste Brahmanas were shocked that out of the that Krishna showed, he's not an ordinary person. And they were defeated. And so Narottam Das Thakur defeated them through samadhi. While in samadhi. What to speak of speaking? Just samadhi. So the spiritual master, he qualifies. First he trains properly. What is the way of training someone? Michael, how do you train someone? Yeah, but how does a spiritual master train? By hearing. What does he give us to hear? Instructions. You train someone through instructions. So the spiritual master gives instructions and trains our character so we may become qualified for studying the Vedas, Vedic literature. It's described that the father personifies Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma is considered the original, he's considered the grandfather, But he personifies, our father personifies Lord Brahma. A brother, King Indra. A mother, planet Earth. You know why? Mother personifies planet Earth. What are the similarities between mother and Mother Earth? Nurtures. We get all our food and water from the earth. Guys, help me out, man. Monday morning is tough for me too. So, from the earth. What else we get from the earth? Grains. That's food. Water. What else? That's air. But yeah, air, trees give us bit. We make houses. Where do all the materials for the houses come from? Earth. And then we walk on the earth. She's called Dharani. None of us can fly and levitate right now, right? So we walk on earth. It doesn't matter, even if we create planes that fly, they have to land somewhere, and that's the earth. Most importantly, the earth and the mother are similar because of the quality of forbearance. We do so many things to Mother Earth, yet she silently, patiently bears all of it, right? Especially, it's described in the Vedas that the greatest burden for Earth is ungrateful people. The burden is very much high. She doesn't mind anyone else, but to carry the burden of ungrateful people is very difficult. Generally, children are considered ungrateful because they only take and take and take and take and don't give anything. So the mother has the quality of forbearance. She carries the child in the womb for so many months, goes through all these hormonal changes, goes through labor pain to deliver us, right? We are sitting here studying Bhagavatam because a mother delivered us, right? And nourishes us, gives her own body tissues, milk, education, culture, emotional values, whole thing comes from the mother. Some mothers may not have done it, but mothers are supposed to do this. Even if they don't do it, the fact that they bore us for such a long time and delivered us, they're very great. Forbear. And we should look at ourselves. At the end of the day, what has she delivered? Me? Oh, that must be tough for her. Right. So Mother Earth, for her, the greatest burden is ungrateful people. It's described in the morning that when we wake up, first thing is we offer obeisances to the spiritual master. And it's proper to offer respects to Mother Earth. Thank you for bearing my weight. I'm not offering you anything in return. I'm only taking and taking and taking. But you're bearing my weight. You're bearing the weight of my bad character, worst of all. But thank you. Like that. And he says, a sister personifies mercy. Because she's always merciful. Sister is considered to be merciful. I can't speak that about all sisters. I didn't have one, so I can't say. A guest personifies religious principles. Why? Any idea why? Shravan, do you have an idea why a guest personifies religious principles? Terence? Yeah, very good. All our good character is tested in how we greet a guest. Very good. Because the word used in Sanskrit, and next he says, an invited guest personifies the demigod Agni. So that means if there's an invited guest, there is also an uninvited guest. Right? An invited guest personifies Agni. Because to that guest, we offer things that we have gathered. Money, food, etc. These are fruits of our labor. And when we offer it to a guest, an invited guest, then on behalf of the demigods, they accept those offerings. So they're called, they personify Agni in the fire, right? We offer a sacrifice, which otherwise we would say, this is for me. We don't invite any guest. We don't share anything with anyone. It's all for me. I worked so hard. It's for me. Why am I working so hard? It's for me. But when we give it to a guest, it's an act of sacrifice. I worked hard, and I'm giving it to someone else for their enjoyment. This is the proper way of treating a guest. Then there is an uninvited guest. What to do with them? Invited, all right. Uninvited? Treat them like Lord Narayana. Correct. They are called Atithi in Sanskrit. Atithi. Tithi means according to time. For example, if you say Vedic calendar wise, it's what's the Tithi? Oh, it's Monday, 10 past 8, and everyone's fast asleep. That is the Tithi. It's also a pity. But Atithi means one who comes unannounced, not according to time. Who comes unannounced? Lord Krishna comes unannounced. He now tells us, I'm going to come such and such time to see you. Why does Krishna come unannounced? Justin, you want to guess? Why would you go to someone's house unannounced? Would we go? Huh? Exactly. We don't go unannounced because we're not Krishna. We're not testing anyone. The spiritual master may come unannounced. Krishna definitely comes unannounced. Does Krishna tell us, I'm going to give you mercy such and such day? Such and such. When are we tested by Krishna? All the time. Krishna is the expert at pop quizzes, right? He just puts it right on us. Doesn't give us any warning. Why? Because unannounced means we are tested. Announced means we can feign it, right? We're nicely prepared. We know all the right things to say, right? When the spiritual master is there, we know all the right things to say, the right sentences. I am so your servant. But it is unannounced. That's when the real test is. Is that how our character is all the time? That's what Krishna is checking. So Atithi, an uninvited guest, is considered to be Lord Narayana, Krishna himself. So they should be taken care of very nicely. In this temple, do we have opportunity for taking care of uninvited guests? Okay. Some are really uninvited and we should ask them to stay out. But we should be careful. For example, if someone's intoxicated severely, we don't have to kick them out. We can ask them to leave. We can ask them to leave in a nice way. We can give them some prasadam and ask them to leave for the safety of the rest of the residents. But treating them nicely is the most important thing. So that's the social. That's how one is treated, a guest. In fact, it's described in the Vedas that if an enemy comes home, one should be treated so nicely that the enemy forgets all animosity and feels friendship from us, even if they are an enemy. So hospitality in the Vedic system is a very fantastic science in how to take care of guests. Now, since we're talking all this high-sounding stuff, I also want to take the opportunity to express that as after hearing this class, and that too from, I guess for me, when you meet someone, please be a little thoughtful before you open the doors and bring them downstairs or up into the ashram, etc. It doesn't mean that we lose our sense of discrimination. We don't have that realization yet. We treat someone nicely, we offer them some prasadam, Mahaprasadam is here. We welcome them nicely. Thank you for coming to our temple, etc. But that doesn't mean you open the doors and let them walk into the ashram upstairs or make kitchen their backyard or, you know, the prasadam hall. Please, please don't let that happen. A sense of security and who we invite. Just be a little cautious. Especially, you know, just like any guest who comes to our house, we may meet them nicely, but we keep them in the living room. We don't bring them into the bedroom. Right? It's just like, oh, a perfect stranger showed up in the house. Come on, come on, we like everyone. You're just come into our bedroom. Walk around anywhere in the house. Feel free. Use it like your place. No, we don't. That would be a little improper. Because we're also maintaining Krishna's property here. And we've had some really funny incidents happen here. And we don't want that to repeat. Especially because we have women, children, and this is Krishna's property. We have to learn to balance multiple principles at the same time. We welcome everyone, but we're also protecting Krishna's property and Krishna's devotees. Okay, so that's the disclaimer. And he says, all living entities personify Lord Vishnu. Because Paramatma, Lord Vishnu is in every living entity's heart. So we are meant to treat all living entities with great respect. So here, we are given Chanakya Pandit's aphorism, Atmavat Sarva Bhuteshu. This is a golden rule. Treat others the same way you would like to be treated. That's the message. How would we like to be treated by others? With kindness, with gentleness, with respect. Right? So we treat others the same way. And one should learn this. It's an art. It's not easy. It's not easy to treat others with respect. It is somewhat easy to treat others with respect when they respect us. That's easy. What is difficult is to treat someone with respect when they're not respecting us. That's the test of our character. Suppose we go out on the street and someone says something disrespectful to us. And if we turn around and are disrespectful to them. From a social perspective, people may say, hey, that's all right, makes sense. They were bad to you, it's fine. They're getting a taste of their own medicine. But if we do so, then what is the difference between the person who doesn't have any training in Krishna consciousness and us, who are meant to be trained? What's the distinction? There isn't any, right? The only distinction is we have shaved heads and funny robes, that's about it, right? Our difference is the character, what we carry in our heart. Now, we are in the temple with the devotees, and let's say we feel that some devotee disrespects us. Then what do? We still treat them with respect. Because never from our side, we try not to cross the line of devotional etiquette as far as possible. We can only do it to the extent of our realization, of course, but as far as possible. Because to correct a wrong needs another wrong? No, you cannot correct a wrong with a wrong. Can we correct a wrong with the right? So from our side, whatever is happening, we try our best to stay within the boundaries of proper devotional etiquette and behavior. Even if we are right that someone else is wrong, possible, happens still. So this is that principle, Atmavat Sarva Bhuteshu. We treat others exactly the way we would like to be treated, with honor and dignity and respect. Then, the demigods describe seniority. From a social perspective, a person older in age to us is considered a senior and worthy of respect and obeisances and honor. Only in Vedic learning is a person who may be younger in age, but more learned, is considered a senior. When the sages of Naimisharanya, when the sages had gathered around Parikshit Maharaj, who had decided to fast unto death, and he had decided that he was going to spend the next 7 days just hearing about Krishna, all the great sages were there. Narada Muni, Vyasadev, etc. Suta Goswami. And in walks Shukadev Goswami. Shukadev Goswami is a 16-year-old Brahmana, a devotee. By this time he has already become a devotee. They all stood up in respect, although he is much younger than they are. And they chose him to be the speaker of Bhagavatam to Parikshit Maharaj. So it is according to learning. Now, we may not be able to judge someone's learning so easily. How do you judge a person? Judge not in a bad way, but how do you get to know a person, especially a devotee? We meet them for the first time. Conversation. What are we going to say, Mike? Yeah. The moment they speak, either they speak their realizations or their behavior, you get a sense of their advancement. You get a sense. Of course, we may also get a wrong sense. That's also possible because we may carry certain stereotypes in our mind. Oh, senior devotee should behave like that. Someone should behave like that. We have some stereotypes in our mind. We should break those stereotypes. But the depth of realization will give us an indicator. And when in doubt, what should we do? Well, we should offer obeisance. That's the point. Whenever in doubt, are they senior than me or not? Just offer obeisances. Because our teaching is that we treat everyone superior than ourselves. Here Prabhupada writes, no one should be treated as an inferior. Therefore we have to accept obeisances from them. Here is Prabhupada's writing, Vishwarupa was junior in relationship to the demigods because he was their nephew. But the demigods wanted to accept him as their priest, and therefore he would have to accept obeisances from them. The demigods explained that this should not be a cause for hesitation. So there are grades of or standards of seniority. Learning in Vedic principles or Krishna consciousness. Age is another one. A third is their social order. A Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. So sometimes we have to be able to know how to make how to interact properly with others. As followers of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, our call to action is that we treat everyone with great respect. We offer our respects in our hearts and by our bodies to everyone. Because we consider ourselves lower than others. It allows for service to happen. If I consider myself superior than others, then I can't serve them. If I consider myself inferior, I can serve. However, the only thing is sometimes we see that the spiritual master will also serve his disciples. Even Krishna serves his devotees. Krishna likes to serve his devotees. Examples of Krishna serving his devotees? Kalki Prabhu, an example of Krishna serving his devotees? Sudama, what did he do? Washed his feet, sprinkled the water on his head, fanned him with a chamara fan. Who else? He became the chariot driver of Arjuna. Another one? Narada Muni. When Narada Muni came, he also received him nicely. Another is Lord Vamana. Lord Vamana holds a sword and is the gatekeeper outside Bali Maharaja's palace. That's pretty humble. They went to meet Mahavishnu. Yeah. Right. So Krishna loves to serve his devotees. The spiritual master loves to serve his disciples. But that's not like they think I'm inferior. So we may see a brand new person who we may know that they may be inferior to us because we know at least two shlokas. At least two, maybe one, but that's better than nothing. But we carry a mood of service unto Krishna, unto the Paramatma sitting in their heart as well. So whether superior, very accomplished in devotional life, or becoming accomplished, or starting out, it doesn't matter. We carry a mood of service such that Krishna is pleased. And we respect everyone, treat everyone with honor and dignity. Etc. Some social lessons. Okay, any question? It's the Monday phenomenon, yeah. So if you don't mind, could you speak it again so it's getting recorded?
I was going to ask with the most proper way, like, to offer obeisances. I know there's different ways. Sometimes you can, you know, do a dandavat, and that's a way. But I feel like that's kind of like excessive for certain situations. So what would you say is a good way to, I guess, discriminate those situations? Like, what kind of obeisances to offer?
Refer to Nectar of Instruction, where Rupa Goswami gives us. He says, "Krishneti yatya giritam." Manasadriyeta. One who is chanting Krishna's holy name, we offer respect in our heart or in our mind. One who is initiated by a spiritual master, we actually bow down and offer obeisances. One who is ripe with Vedic proper Krishna conscious knowledge, we hear from them, we serve them like that. There are different ways. So when we meet someone, they walk in to say, welcome to the temple, Hare Krishna, nice to see you. That's the way we offer our respect to them. When we see a devotee who's initiated, we actually bow down. So there are ways of offering respect. Now sometimes we may make a mistake, right? Suppose a brand new person walks into the temple and we go dandavat in front of them. It's a little shocking. And when that happens, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur calls it utsahamayi. Utsahamayi means false enthusiasm or bubbling with enthusiasm and doesn't know how to do it properly. We hear a story that there were certain devotees. This was in London. And one morning, a car pulls up. And George Harrison? Yeah, he steps out of the car. And a bhakta in the temple, he looks at George Harrison, says, "Ah, George Harrison Prabhu," runs out. And George is standing where there's a little puddle of dirt, you know, this murky water. White kurta dhoti, jumps right into the water, splash, dandavats, vancha kalpatar vyasa. That's a little extreme. Of course, we hear that in the district of Nadia, our Lord Nityananda, Nithai, he would knock on people's doors who were complete debauchees and materialistic persons. He would knock at their door. They would open the door and they would not see anyone. And when they would look down, Lord Nityananda would be on the floor holding their feet. Please chant Krishna's name. Please chant Krishna's name. That's Lord Nityananda. Okay. different category of personality. In America, if we do that to people, they may, I mean, they already think we're a little loony, but with proper respect, welcome, thank you for coming. Bye.
Just to clarify, so someone who's like very ripe in knowledge, hearing from them and serving them is a way,
yes,
of offering obeisances.
But we offer obeisances also. We serve,
okay,
body, mind, and words.
So you just say all of the above for that?
All of three.
Okay, I see.
So we serve with our body by offering them obeisances, bringing them different items, prasadam, water, you know, serving their needs as maybe. In our mind, we offer prayers to them. There are some beautiful prayers in the Bhagavatam to offer. For example, a favorite verse is first canto, 13th chapter, 18th verse. Tulayama lave napi, nasvargam napunarbhavam. You've heard that one? Bhagavat sangi sangasya, martyanam kimutashishah. He says, even a moment of association with a great personality can surpass liberation, what to speak of heavenly or anything that a person who's in the circle of birth and death, what can they achieve? What you can achieve from a moment of association. Tulayama lavena api. Lavena api means 1/12 of a second of association with a great personality. So in our mind we ready it that way so we can hear. And we use our ears to hear from them. And with our words, we express gratitude for the gift of Krishna consciousness, for the gift of faith. What do we get from saintly persons, primarily? Faith in Krishna, which is the foundation of anything else. So when we hear from someone and it inspires us, then we express in our words to them, thank you for building my faith. Thank you for teaching me. And as followers of Lord Chaitanya and Srila Prabhupada, the better way of expressing that gratitude is we hear, we learn, and we teach someone else. That's gratitude. We actually do something with that learning. We help others. Greatest service done. Yes, Bhaktaluk. It's Monday, so please ask me simple questions, easy ones.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
I was wondering, the offense in the title of the chapter is Indra offends Brihaspati.
Mm-hmm.
So he's suffering a reaction. It seems from the description of these verses that the other celestial beings, the other residents of Swargaloka, they're also suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Is it that they also committed an offense, or they're suffering because of Lord Indra's offense? Interesting.
Details have been skipped, but after this, the demons have attacked. They've lost their kingdom. So they're on behalf of Indra, they've understood. And Indra is repenting. It's not like Indra's not repented, he's repenting. And so they go to Lord Brahma. So yeah, Indra's offenses, they trickle down. When a father makes offenses, the family suffers. When a leader makes offenses, followers suffer. When a husband makes offenses, the wife suffers. 50% of all the offenses, 50% of everything that a husband does goes to the wife. Good and bad. So if a husband is a rascal, the wife suffers. The husband is good, the wife benefits. Family suffers if someone does really foolish things. For example, now let's take a very, very mundane example. Okay? There's a family, a father, mother, and happy children, whatever. For some reason, the father commits adultery. Does the rest of the family suffer? Of course, because let's say, you know, that illicit relationship comes out into the open, there's a messy something, then either there's a divorce or something or the other. Does the family suffer? Yeah, greatly. They may have not committed the offense, but they suffer. Like that.
Just remembering, was it Valmiki that Lord Narada Muni, he came up to him and Valmiki was maintaining his family? Valmiki.
Mrigari the hunter.
He was maintaining his family in this way and go ask your family if they want to.
If they will take.
Ah, I see. Yeah.
And they said, no way. We won't take. Yamunacharya story?
When Ramchandra Khan...
in the drama. We just saw the drama. Go ahead.
When Ramchandra Khan... offended Nityanand Prabhu, the whole village was plundered.
There, he's sitting right next to you, the person who all acted as Miniketan Ramdas, Lord Nityananda's associate, and the director is sitting right next to you. You're flanked by a great actor and a great director. Yeah, the whole village got burned. He lost his head. They killed the dacoits. Where's the dacoit? He left. Killed him. I mean, he's not a dacoit.
Why is that? Because others are depending on the one. Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You have time for a story? Nice fun story. You're okay? You can wait? All right. Because you got to laugh a little and wake up on Monday morning. Everyone's like, oh, Sundays are always tough. Mondays are tougher, right? So, Yamunacharya was a... Before he became the big acharya for the Sri Vaishnava community, he was a young boy of 12. Very learned. And once, a prominent scholar by the name Kolahala, he came to the king and he challenged that, my dear king, I'm going to challenge all the scholars in your kingdom. And if they, if I defeat them, I will take away 50% of all their wealth. So all the scholars were scared because they didn't want to debate with him because he was a very, very well-known scholar. So there's usually some parallels in the lives of these great personalities. Lord Chaitanya was also accosted by Keshava Kashmiri. Remember that story? On the banks of the Ganges? Lord Chaitanya was 14 years old. So Yamuna, he was 12 years old. And his spiritual master, Guru, he was a little anxious. So Yamuna told his Guru, if you give me permission, I will debate with this scholar, a 12-year-old boy. When no other scholar in the kingdom said that they would debate. So the Guru said, well, okay. So the message was sent to the king that Yamuna, the 12-year-old boy, he will debate with Kolahala. And Kolahala started laughing. Come on, 12-year-old boy, you're insulting me. He said, no, he's good. So the day was set, a date was set, and the king, the queen, and the whole kingdom had thronged there to hear this debate. So Kolahala, he came in a palanquin with so many followers. They were singing his glories. And Kolahala came and sat on this wonderful seat. And right across him was Yamuna's seat, and Yamuna had not shown up. What's that called? No show? So Kolahala started laughing. Ha ha ha. I think Yamuna has come to his senses. So the king was like, what? This is embarrassing. That from our kingdom, no one has shown up. So a message was sent to Yamuna. Why didn't you show up? And Yamuna said, I'm coming to debate on behalf of the king. The king didn't send the limo. I won't come without a limo. Oh, and they sent a whole cavalry with limousines and musicians for Yamuna to come. So then Yamuna came in a very grand style. So Kolahala was like, wow, what an impudent young boy. So then Kolahala started asking all these questions, one after the other. And Yamuna answered all of them. Then Yamuna said, come on, asked me some tough questions. I asked to ask me simple questions. He asked him, ask me tough questions. Come on. Don't think because I'm a young boy, you know, you're having pity on me or having mercy on me. Ask me some tough questions. He said, if only by age you can assess learning, right? If you think that older the person, the wiser they are, if that's your assessment, then this water buffalo should be more intelligent than you, because you're very, he's older than you are. So Kolahala got very upset. What? Naturally, everyone started laughing. So I said, all right, all right. And he asked me very tough questions on grammar, logic, all these things. And Yamuna defeated all of them. Then Yamuna said, by this time Kolahala started sweating a little bit, because he has never been defeated. You'll see the connection in the story anyway. So Yamuna said, all right, I will make three statements and I would like you to refute those statements. You have to prove them wrong. Statement number one. Statement number one. Your mother is not barren. So what does Kolahala have to prove? That his mother is barren. Okay? Statement number one. Statement number two, our king is not sinful. And a third one, our queen, she's not, that she's chaste. You have to prove that she's unchaste. Now you imagine Kolahala's position. He has to prove that his mother is barren. How he can prove that? He's already born. Barren woman doesn't have a child. He's already here. Second is to prove that the king is sinful. If you prove the king sinful, what happens? You won't have a head left, right? Shoulders will be light, no head on it. And the third, even worse, is to prove that the queen is unchaste. Woo. So Kolahala started sweating like anything. He couldn't speak, he was tongue-tied, he was shivering. And everyone was laughing, laughing and laughing. Because a little kid, still checkmated this guy. So then what would we do if we were in Kolahala's position? What did Kolahala do? You have to think from the mind of an arrogant, proud person. A proud person will not accept defeat. What would they say? He said, you show me how you can refute these statements, right? You all put Yamuna in the hot seat. Oh yeah, you show me. So Yamuna said, all right, first one. I have to prove that your mother is barren. According to Manu Samhita, a woman who has only one child is considered to be barren. You are the only child to your parents. There is no brother or sister, no sibling. So from Manu Samhita's perspective, your mother is barren. The whole crowd went, yeah! And Kolahala was like, ah! Said, second, I have to prove that the king is sinful. It's described that the king, because he is, and he said, our king is the greatest honest and pious person that I've ever met. But it's described, according to Manu Samhita, that the king accepts 1/6 of all the sinful reactions of his followers and citizens. And I can't say that all of us are free of sin. So in that sense, the king is also sinful, because he is getting 1/6 of our karmic reactions. The crowd just went berserk. Ah, yeah! Our little Yamuna. Then the final one. He has to now prove that the queen is unchaste. He said, our queen is the emblem of chastity. She is like the goddess of fortune. However, according to Manu Samhita, the king is the representative of all the demigods. Now there are many demigods. That means she has 33 million persons that she is associating with. So in that sense, she's not chaste. It's not one person, 33 million. So she's not chaste in that sense. And Kolala was completely defeated, completely smashed. So this is how reactions are shared, sinful reactions are shared among members of a unit or a community. That's the connection. Okay, enough. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.